Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. Joining us now is John Judis, who's a senior editor at The New Republic. His books include The Paradox of American Democracy, Elite Special Interest in the Betrayal of Public Trust, William F. Buckley, Patron Saint of the Conservatives, and Grand Illusion, Critics and Champions of the American Century. He's been covering Mitt Romney's campaign in New Hampshire and has written a piece in the New Republic, Liberals' Strange Retreat on Government Spending. And the president in addressing the collapsing Black Monday's collapsing cascading stock market crashes around the world, came out and said that we'll always be a AAA nation. And of course, no sooner had he said that than the stock market took its worst tumble in a number of years. I'm wondering, who's doing strategy in the White House?
Are you asking me who's doing strategy?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that was a... He could have come out today and made that statement because the market rebounded, but it looked... But the timing was such that he said, oh, we're doing great, and then...
I don't have much access to the White House these days, to tell you the truth. I think I've written too much critical stuff, so I really can't answer that question. I assume the president makes a lot of decisions.
Well, do you agree that he's taking a beating in terms of, I mean, you've been up there in New Hampshire covering Romney, and what Romney's saying now, his shtick is that I'm the CEO of America Incorporated, and Obama is out of his depth.
I think the president has a pretty good chance of not getting reelected. I don't think that the economy is going to rebound sufficiently by the summer, next summer, to make it possible for him to run a positive campaign. And I think he's going to have a hard time just running a purely negative campaign against the Republicans, unless they nominate somebody from their fringes.
So do you think in part, John Judis, this has to do with him being joined at the hip with the Republicans on this this terrible deal that they made in order to stop the extortion over the debt ceiling? And frankly, there's no question that the president bought into that deal. He didn't get what he wanted, but he didn't walk away from the deal.
Well, I think that Barack Obama has one glaring weakness as president, which is that he's averse to conflict with the other side. He's not willing to fight it out, and he's not willing to represent himself as fighting on behalf of the middle class, or the working class, what have you. He's given in at crucial moments to the opposition. And particularly when, as in this case, their demands were really totally unreasonable. So I think that he's weakened his reputation as a leader significantly.
And why do you think that's the case, John Judis? Because all politicians have at least some measure of self-survival, and they're always looking to the next election, and you don't agree to things that are going to basically sink your ship.
Well, I let's go back to the question about conflict. I think that there's two things at play. One is personality and character. I don't think he likes mixing it up. I don't think he likes that kind of politics, vilifying the opposition, demonizing them, representing himself as a force of good against evil. That's the way a lot of politics happens. He doesn't like it. The second factor is I think that he and some of his political advisors have this theory that there are a lot of independents out there who are looking for a kind of good government above it all, a politician who's willing to compromise at every turn. I don't think that's the case. I think there are such people, but I don't think that there are enough of those people to carry a presidential candidate to victory in 2012. So I think it's a combination of political strategy and personality.
But again, since the president has not separated, he's in fact in many ways bought into the Republican narrative. He's tied the economy to the debt when there's no real relationship. And in your essay in the New Republic, John Judas, Liberal Strange Retreat from Government Spending, you're saying that we need to revive that message that is what is in fact needed now. It's not austerity, but we need to be priming the pump during a recession, not turning off the tap. And arguably, what just happened on Wall Street in the last few days and around the world had a lot more less to do with the S&P downgrade and a lot more to do with Wall Street realizing that $2 trillion have been taken out of an anemic economy, and this is only going to deepen the recession.
I have read things to that effect from people on Wall Street that's what they were concerned about, and I'm not surprised. I mean, we're presently on a very dangerous course. There's you can look across the Atlantic Ocean at Great Britain, where Cameron thinks that the best way to solve their problems is through austerity, and he may perhaps be seeing the results of that right now. In the United States, we have a political party that is also bought into that you cut the public spending during a recession. This is, you know, we figured this out 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago during the Great Depression. This isn't the way to get out of a downturn. You have to use government at those times to do what the private sector is still reluctant to do, which is to spend, invest, to give people the money to consume. And if you don't do that, you're going to go back down into another recession. And that looks like what we may be doing.
Again, I'm speaking with John Judas, who's a senior editor at the New Republic, where he has an essay, Liberals' Strange Retreat on Government Spending. So you mentioned, John, that you're not popular with the White House, and I think you've been a fairly early critic of their tactics. By the way, I spoke the other day with one of Clinton's guys, whose name suddenly slips me because I'm having a senior moment here, his chief strategist, along with Paul Magala. I can't think of his name. He's married to the Republican woman.
Carville.
There you go. No, thank you, John. Jim Carville. And I asked you about the question that I asked you at the top, which is who's doing strategy at the White House? And he said, Barack Obama's the kind of guy who shows up for a strip poker game wearing Speedos.
Uh-huh.
So tell me, though, your essay is an attempt to suggest that maybe there's a way to, even though it looks like you said that he may have lost it in 2012 already, but still there's a race to run. What are the chances of him picking up on what you're talking about, which is starting a whole new narrative? Obviously, the American people have bought this deficit Kool-Aid and this mantra from Wall Street that we've got to get our fiscal house in order. And as you've just pointed out, the people on Wall Street know the opposite, which is that the policies of austerity are the ones that are killing the economy and killing off the recovery.
The only way to do it that I can see, and he's had this opportunity now for the last 2 years, is to say that we're in a deep crisis and that he made a mistake in not going far enough, that was what the problem was, and to try to rally the American people to that. I think it's going to be very hard to do it, and I also don't think they are going to do it. I think that they are pretty much resigned to having a lousy economy. There was a story today that I've heard confirmed from other sources that they're already readying this campaign to try to make Romney look bad because they don't want him as the Republican nominee. I just think that's terrible. It's bad politics all around. But that's the direction they're going.
So you were up in New Hampshire yesterday covering Romney. There's a report in the Huffington Post that he blamed the S&P downgrade on Social Security. They quote him here as saying, a nation just can't pay this much back. Did you hear that?
This much referred to debt. I didn't hear him say anything of the kind about Social Security. He was asked about Social Security at another setting yesterday, and he talked about what the different ways might be to prevent the program from becoming insolvent in decades. But they were the kind of things you would hear in Washington, raising the retirement age, things like that. So it's not...
That's the stuff that the White House has already...
That particular quote was not about Social Security.
Right. That and that, that's what the White House has already put on the table, so they don't have a case there. So what's your impressions of this guy? If the White House think he's the one that they have to stop, my understanding that it's the Republicans that'll probably stop him in the primaries.
We'll have to see. He's got some advantages of money and organization, and insofar as the economy is the main issue, he's pretty well positioned. There are also a lot of Republican primary states where independents can vote, and where they're more likely to vote in the Republican primary this year because there isn't going to be a competitive Democratic primary. I think his main opposition is going to be Perry, if Perry gets into the race, because Romney is not going to do well in the South. He'll probably have to win Florida, I would think.
It's a pretty foregone conclusion, isn't it, that Perry's going to jump in this week?
Well, yeah, but you never know. I mean, people mm-hmm. foregone conclusion that Mitch Daniels was going to run too. So we'll see.
Well, there's also something of a foregone conclusion that the other Mormon huntsman was the dark horse, and he seems to be floundering. What's your impression? You were just up there where he's also campaigning, right?
Who is the dark horse?
Huntsman.
Oh, Huntsman. I think Huntsman is too liberal for the Republican primary electorate. I don't know how much difference there is if you took an X-ray of Huntsman and Romney's brain, but Huntsman has been is too much identified with Obama, and some of his stands are a little too reasonable.
So it's not that he's a bad candidate. He's got unfortunate baggage for the Republican primary voter.
Well, he is a bad candidate.
Oh, okay.
It's not that he would make a bad president, but he's not going to get the chance.
I see. And what about Romney then? Because the critique I've heard is that he has an authenticity problem, that he just doesn't seem like a real person. Did you get any?
He's pretty good in person. We'll have to see. I mean, a lot of the authenticity problem comes from the fact that he's changed his positions markedly on social issues. I actually covered his Senate race against Ted Kennedy for the New Republic, and I was tipped off to cover it by the Log Cabin Republicans, the gay group that said, you know, this is our guy. This is, this is a candidate who really understands our issues. And indeed, in that race, he was very much pro-gay, civil rights. And so I think that's where his authenticity problem comes from.
Right. Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time here, John Judas, but I thank you so much for joining us.
A pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with John Judas, who's a senior editor at The New Republic. His books include The Paradox of American Democracy, Elite Special Interests in the Betrayal of Public Trust, William F. Buckley, Patron Saint of the Conservatives, and Grand Illusion, Critics and Champions of the American Century. He's been covering Mitt Romney's campaign in New Hampshire and has an essay at The New Republic titled, where is it now here? So, Liberal Strange Retreat on Government Spending. So what did we learn on Background Briefing today? We began talking with Caroline Frost, who's an editor with the Huffington Post UK's edition. She previously was a news producer for BBC News. She joined us for an update on the riots, the fourth day of the riots. Last night, her neighborhood in Ealing was looted, all of the shops in her neighborhood. Many of them, she said, were just small businesses like the local florist, that the looters came from out of town via the subway. And she wasn't particularly impressed by their political statements attacking small businesses, although in the London proper, apparently, the target seemed to have been some of the luxury stores, which is a kind of political protest or statement against the wealthy. She didn't deny that there was a lot of bitterness in England from the young who feel their opportunities are being taken away, and these new austerity measures imposed on them by this new Conservative government are even diminishing their opportunities further, and that this new Conservative government, with 16 multimillionaires in the cabinet, most of them were on vacation in the south of France and Italy, and Cameron, the Prime Minister, had to come back, poor fellow, from his Italian vacation with a sporting a suntan to deal with all of this rioting. So there's no question that there's a political dimension to it, and it is a lot to do with class warfare, but there's also a kind of sense of criminal opportunism and anarchy as well. Then we talked about Syria, trying to figure out whether the resignation of the defense minister and the lecture given to Assad's dictator Assad by the Turkish foreign minister and Saudi Arabia criticizing them, because the Saudi human rights criticism coming from the Saudis has to be taken with a grain of salt. But James Galvin, professor of Middle East history at the UCLA, a specialist on Syria, really sort of, I think, made a pretty strong case, albeit a depressing one, that the Americans, the Israelis, nobody really wants this hideous regime to go away. They think that what will replace it will be so much worse, and they're just hoping that somehow these murderous criminals will hold on and that the world will forget what's happened and play along with what this horrible regime that they've been clearly playing along with for some time. Including the Israelis, who are very comfortable with the Syrian dictatorship. So a very sad and cynical, but nevertheless, I think, a fairly accurate reading of the situation. And then John Judas from the New Republic joined us. He has an essay out, Liberal Strange Retreat on Government Spending. He thinks Obama's a one-term president, and unless he rallies the liberals and comes up with a new narrative about not the austerity one, but that we need to revive Social Security and Medicare, not cut it, that he's going to go down. And he also covered Mitt Romney and was able to talk to us about how Romney will be a real challenge to the president. I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.